Proverbs 29, verse 1, it says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." All right. What I want to share with you tonight is something that's a burden on my heart. And it's something that can be very important to every one of you. To you children, what I'm going to say tonight is very important to you children. What I'm going to say tonight is very important to you young people. It's very important to us adults. It's important to all of us. Because we're going to be talking about our response to correction. You know, correction is really our friend. But a lot of times we don't think of correction as our friend. I mean, there's not a one of us that enjoys correction. Right? If somebody comes to you and says you did something wrong, we don't enjoy that. Our nature is to like, I wasn't wrong. You know, that's our nature. We bristle when somebody points out a fault that we have done. You children, when you get in trouble and you get disciplined for it or sit in the corner or scolded for what you did wrong, you know, there's a temptation to not like that. That's our nature, to not like that. And the Bible tells us that that is true, that it's not natural for us to enjoy discipline or punishment for doing wrong or correction of any kind. Where there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 11. Hebrews 12, 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." So God says it's never joyous, it's never fun to get corrected, it's never enjoyable. But afterwards, it yields good things in our life. And that's something that's very important. And every one of us needs to understand when we get in trouble or somebody corrects us or somebody gets after us and says, "You shouldn't have done that," or somebody says that was an unkind thing to say, and they're trying to say something to us, even if they say it in a mean way, that's not the point. If they're correcting us, they're helping us to be able to be a better person. When you boys get in trouble for doing something that wasn't right, if that is to try to help you to become a better boy. And you girls, when you do something that wasn't right, and your parents get after you, or your teacher gets after you, or someone else gets after you, it is to help you to do what is right. When an adult gets pulled over for speeding, and the purpose for that isn't just so that the police department can make money, it is to help them to learn to do right. Okay? It is to help them to learn to do right. And so the goal of correction is to help us. Now, correction comes in all different kinds of forms. All right? Sometimes it's rebuke. And sometimes it is scolding. Sometimes it may be a command to stop doing something. Don't do that anymore. All right? And it may be even just a look of displeasure. All right? When a parent... Yeah, I remember many times, you know, when I remember a time in church that I was doing something I shouldn't do, and Dad looked down at me, and his look was like, "You better stop that." And I knew what that look meant. It meant I was in trouble when I got home. All right? Just that look of rebuke. All right? It was that scolding look as a look of displeasure. It may be the stabbing conviction from the Holy Spirit. When we've done wrong. Has the Spirit of God ever convicted you of doing wrong? Should be. If you've done something wrong, the Spirit of God ought to be after you and say, "That was wrong. That was wrong. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have looked at that. You shouldn't have thought that. You shouldn't have acted like that. You shouldn't have got angry like that. That was wrong." You know, one of the things that's very helpful, God tells us in His Word, in Hebrews chapter 12, that if God does not correct us when we've done wrong, that is an indication that we're not a Christian. It says the same thing in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. It says if God does not correct us, he says God always corrects us there in Proverbs. He doesn't actually face the other side of it, but he says God always corrects us. Now, with all those things in mind, it may be a personal word of correction from maybe your pastor. You know, sometimes I have to come to someone and say, you know, this is something that I see in your life that I think is going to hurt you, and I'd like to see you change. And you know, that isn't because I dislike you, it's because I care. And it's because I want to help you. And when someone scolds you or gets after you or tries to rebuke you or help you, there's two ways that we can respond. And we're going to be looking at those two ways here tonight. One of the ways is to rebel, and the other way is to repent. There's only two options. The two ways, we can either rebel or we can repent. All right, now, when we get scolded or rebuked for something, that's how we got to make a choice which way we're going to do. Now, there's a wrong way to respond, and the wrong way to respond is to rebel. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1, it says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." God says, if you get rebuked for something that you've done wrong, and it happens again and again and again, what you're doing is you're hardening your neck. What does it mean to harden your neck? That's a weird term. We don't think of, I got a hard neck. You know, it's kind of like a stiff neck, I suppose, in a sense. But he's talking about, we would often say harden our heart, where we say, in our hearts, we're saying, don't like that. But he's describing a person who's a rebel, someone who's rebelling. Now, Solomon was speaking here of being often reproved, and he talks about hardening the neck. Now, how do we do that? How's the response? What are the responses that could indicate that we're hardening our neck? One of the ways is to get angry. To get angry about something. You know, somebody said that to me, so I'm angry with them because I don't like what they said. Anger is one way. Another one is denying guilt, where we deny that we did anything wrong. Wasn't doing anything. I didn't do anything wrong. What did you get on me for? All right. So denying our guilt. Another one would be to blame others. Well, I wouldn't have done it if they wouldn't have treated me like that. You know, if they would have been nice to me, I wouldn't have done anything. All right. And so there's the tendency to blame others. There's another thing is to ignore the facts. Sometimes we'll just say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it was fine. You know, there wasn't anything wrong with what I did. And so we ignore the facts. Another one is to refuse to accept help. You know, where someone's trying to help us and we just say, you know, I don't want, no, leave me alone. It's none of your business. I don't want to know about it. And so we refuse their help. Another thing is to pout or to refuse to talk. You know, sometimes as children, you get in trouble and, you know, you sit there, just pout and won't want to talk to anybody. And they ask you, what are you going to do about it? You know, we don't want to talk. So that's pouting and ignoring the problem. And so that's another way, and refusing to talk. And then another thing is to just pay no attention to it. You know, sometimes we get in trouble for something and we're told not to do it. Just ignore it. You know, I've been around children that, you know, years ago we had a boy come to our youth activity. It was really a rebel. And I'd tell him to do something and he'd just ignore me and he wouldn't do it. I'd say, don't do that. He'd do it anyway. Finally, I just said, all right, you can't come to the youth activities anymore because you won't listen. You won't obey. And so I couldn't let him come anymore. And I don't like to do that, but you got to have him to obey the rules or else somebody's going to get in trouble and somebody's going to get hurt. And so we need to be very careful about that. And paying no attention to something is just like water running off a duck. You know, why don't ducks get all wet when it's raining? You ever seen a wet duck? They don't get wet. Why? Well, if God gave a duck something special, we'll just have a little biology lesson here. God gave ducks something special to keep them from sinking in the water and from getting all wet. He gave them on their tail an oil gland. Right on the top of the tail of a duck and a chicken, there's an oil gland. And sometimes you'll see a duck and a chicken, they reach back and they scratch their tail with their beak, especially ducks. They'll turn their head around, rub their tail, and then they rub it on their feathers all over the place. What are they doing? They're spreading the oil all over their feathers that is in their tail. That little tail, it almost looks like a pimple-like, and it's full of oil. And they rub it, and the oil squirts out, and they rub it all over their feathers, and it keeps their feathers so that the water runs right off. And, you know, sometimes when we get stubborn and rebellious, and we don't want to listen when we get scolded for something, it's like the scolding is running right off like water on a duck. We're not paying any attention. And that's what he's talking about here when he talks about responding in a wrong way and hardening our neck. Now, just to help us to see the things we're talking about, you know, when your spouse points out something that you need to change, how do we respond? Do we bristle? Do we defend ourselves? You know, that's our natural response. If my wife says to me, you know, you need to change this because it's not a very good testimony. My natural response is, I don't like that. That's my human response. But the right response is to say, well, all right, I see what you're saying. I'll do some work on it. I'll pray. You pray for me that God will help me and I'll try to change. All right. So our natural response is, our human response is not really often right. Also, you children, when you get scolded for disobeying, you know, do you get angry? Do you pout? How do you respond? If you do, that's not the right response. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of a sinful habit, do we make excuses? Do we deny it? Do we try to ignore the Spirit of God's conviction? You know, when the Spirit of God starts getting after you and he's saying, that was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong. Do we say, oh, just leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. Or do we humble ourselves before him? See, it's very important that we respond in the right way. If we respond in a wrong way like these, God says that we've chosen to rebel and harden our neck. And that's going to result in something bad. And he tells us in this verse again, he says, being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He said, if we rebel against those that are trying to help us, God says we will be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, as we look at this, he says that the rebels will be suddenly destroyed. The word destroyed there means to be broken in pieces or crushed. It's like taking an eggshell and squashing it. And it all comes into little, fine little broken up eggshell pieces. God says, I'm going to crush you if you rebel. And I don't want you to rebel. I want you to do right. I don't want to crush you. God has no desire to crush us. God has no desire to hurt us. God wants to help us. But if we rebel against him, he says, I have no choice but to crush you. Now, if a Christian rebels against God, God says that he's going to deal with us in a crushing way. Now, how can that be? What does God do to us? Does he, you know, send on a big something and squash us? No, it's not that in a physical, literal sense. But God may send problems in our life. He may send sickness in our life. He may send problems in our family, or, you know, even in a physical sense. It, you know, a person that does wrong, they may get in trouble with the law. And they may end up in jail. You know, and they lose their freedom because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't do right. And they continue to do what is not pleasing to the Lord. And so, do we need to respond in the right way, or it's going to hurt us or crush us? And God says it'll hurt us. Another thing that it'll do, this is something that is really true of every one of us. If we continue to be rebellious, it's going to hurt our reputation. It really will. What's our reputation? Well, our reputation is what people think of us. You know, some people think, I don't care what people think of me. They can think whatever they want. Well, God says we should care about our reputation. God wants us to care about our reputation. And we shouldn't have the attitude, it doesn't matter what people think about me. That's their business. No, we should have a desire that our reputation, what people think of us, honors the Lord. Remember, we read in Matthew 5:16, says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God says, we need to let our light shine so the people will see our good works and glorify God. And if we have a reputation that is a rebellious, you know, there are some people that they just, throughout their life, they've had a reputation of being a troublemaker, a rebel, always getting in trouble, always doing what they're not supposed to do. And if we have that kind of a reputation, it's going to hurt us. You know, the book of Proverbs, and I can't remember where it is right now, but Proverbs actually says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be right or whether it be true or whether it be right. I think it's what it says. All right, so he says, even the children are known by their doings. So if you children are constantly doing wrong, then people are going to know, oh, yeah, that's that boy that's always in trouble. He's always getting in trouble. Or, you know, that kind of thing. So we don't want a reputation like that. So God says that it's going to crush us. And the thing that we need to remember is this, that stubborn rebels never win. Rebels never win. Rebels never win. All right? They may think they're winning in this life, but rebels never win. because we're always going to lose. It's going to hurt our reputation. It's going to hurt our family. It's going to hurt our testimony for Christ. It's going to hurt ourselves. And we're going to be miserable inside if we're rebels against God. God doesn't want us to be rebels. Rebels never win. And so we need to be sensitive to that and to respond in the proper way. And we're going to see that in a few moments. Now, if we refuse to change, sometimes God is forced to take Christians to heaven early. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, he says that there is a sin unto death. Now, I don't really know what a sin unto death is. I don't think there is a particular sin that if you did this thing, God's going to strike you dead. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think it's more of the thing where God says, all right, I've worked and worked and worked to try to help you. I've disciplined you. I've chastened you. I've corrected you. I've sent people to be your helpers, and you're ignoring them. You're not paying attention. You're not listening. You're not doing right. You're still rebelling. You're not obeying. And God says, all right, that's enough. Calls our number. We die. Now, that happens sometimes. It's not what we want. It's not what any of us want. You know, I don't think any of us tonight would say, oh, I don't care. If God kills me tonight, that's fine. No, I don't think that's what we want. We don't want to die. Right? And so one of the things to remember, when God says here that if we rebel, we will be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. And if we continue to rebel against him, it could be that God says, all right, your time's come. We're going to take you to heaven. You'll be keep out of trouble when you get to heaven. And sometimes that happens, and I've seen that happen in some lives of people that, you know, I don't know, but I've seen it happen in some people's lives, and you think, boy, it sure looks like that's what God did. Because they wouldn't listen, and then all of a sudden they're killed in a car accident, or they die of some unusual thing, and you think, boy, I wonder if that's what God was doing. I don't know, but God tells us we need to be careful about that. Now, then he ends the verse, and he says, they'll be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. The word remedy means a healing or a fix, way of fixing the problem. Now, I don't think God's saying here that if you have had a rebellious streak in your life, that there's no hope for you. I don't think that's what he's saying at all. There's still, as long as the Spirit of God is convicting your heart, you can repent and you can get right and you get it right with God and things can be back the way it should be. And God doesn't want us to be pushed away from him. He wants us to draw near. Remember the verse there that the section we started in James this morning, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The next verse says, draw near to God and God will what? Draw near to you. All right. When you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And so we need to be sensitive to that. And God says, if you draw near me, I will draw near to you. And so God wants us to repent. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to be close to him. But I do believe that he's saying here by this, that without remedy, there comes a time when we become so hard that there's no more interest in getting right. And it's like calluses. You know what calluses are? Those tough parts you get on your skin or on your feet. Some of you kids probably have calluses on your feet from running around barefoot all the time. And they're getting really hard and thick and tough. And, you know, if you're working a lot with your hands, you get those thick things on your hands. And then you can poke it and it doesn't even hurt. There's no hurt there anymore because it's like having a piece of leather on your hand or on your foot. And that's calluses. And what happens is if we continue to rebel against God and rebel against our parents and rebel against authority and rebel against those that are trying to help us, and we keep doing the opposite and getting mad when they help us and rejecting their help, we're building up calluses on our heart. And God says, there comes a time when then you won't even sense the Spirit of God convicting you anymore. It's like I pushed him away so many times. It's like the Spirit of God says, all right, just as you want, I'll leave you alone. And those kind of people will have to face the Lord without getting right. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want that. So here, this verse in Proverbs, Solomon's writing this because he cares. He says there, again, he says, he that often being reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like one who's hardening their neck because there's going to be sudden destruction. But then turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 4. We're going to look at it from a different perspective. This verse doesn't particularly deal with getting right with God or correction, but the principle there is important. Proverbs 25:4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. He's talking about, he's giving us an illustration here of someone who worked in a silver smelting factory. All right, smelting means to heat something very, very hot. And they would take and they would blow air on it. They had these billows. They'd blow air on the fire until the fire got so hot that it would melt metal. They would melt the silver. They'd put silver in a special pot. They'd put the fire billows on. Get them so there's just roaring flames, white hot flames, and it's melting the silver. And when the silver was melted in the pot, then they would take and they would scrape off the junk that would float to the top. They would scrape off all the impurities that would float. And then they would pour off that pure silver. And he said it became a vessel for the finer. The finer was a silversmith. He says, now you can take that pure silver that is purified and give it to the silversmith, and the silversmith can make something really nice out of it. Maybe silver cutlery, or maybe silver jewelry, or maybe silver something else out of silver. But it is pure because it has been purified. And so he's saying here, it's been put to the test. It's been put through the blast furnace. And correction is like that blast furnace. Correction is like that blast furnace where God is putting the pressure on us and saying, what you did was not right. You were not being good. You got in trouble for it. How are you going to respond? And God's saying here, I'm putting the pressure on you to help you to see that you need to change. We need to scrape off the impurities. We need to get rid of the things in your life that aren't supposed to be there, that are hurting you, to make you pure, to make you better, to make you cleaner, to make you more productive. And so the fire is heated up, and God blows the air on the heat of the fire and gets the fire hot in our life where there's trials and troubles and problems that come because we've disobeyed. And through this correction, God is trying to help us to be what we ought to be. It was Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of years gone by, that said, God will never have great chastisements in store for those who are quick confessors of sin. See, what God's saying, what Spurgeon was saying there is that God will not put us through great chastisement or correction if we will quickly repent of our sin. If we quickly say, I was wrong. And as we think about that, repentance is the key. Repentance is a change of mind. But it's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. It isn't just a change in our mind, but it's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. All right? It's very important that we see both aspects of that. Now, how do we repent when we are corrected? Here's some ways. Number one, we listen intently. Your parent comes to you and says, what you did was wrong. That wasn't right. I told you to do this, you did that. That was wrong. Or somebody else scolds you, or you get in trouble for something, or you get a speeding ticket, or you get, you know, get in trouble for something else, whatever the situation may be. And how do we respond? If we repent, we will listen intently. Second, we will have self-inspection. Self-inspection. Inspection means to look at something closely, and self-inspection is when we look at ourselves closely and say, what am I really like? When God looks at me, what's He see? You know, tonight one of the things that would help each of us is if we just took a look deep down inside and said, God, what do you see when you see me? What do you see when you look down inside of me? Remember Psalm 139? The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me the way everlasting. He said in the beginning of that psalm, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. See, so he was saying, God, you know all about me. And self-inspection is when we look at ourselves as God sees us. Young people, it's when you look at yourself as God sees you. instead of saying, well, I'm not as bad as the guy at school, or I'm not, you know, I didn't do anything too bad. No, when we look at ourselves from the way God sees us, look down in your heart and ask yourself, what does God see when He sees your heart? What does He see when He sees the way that you responded this week to your parents' scolding? What did God see when He looked down in your heart when you got in trouble for something this week? Or when someone said to you, you shouldn't talk like that. Or when someone said, you shouldn't watch that. Or when the Spirit of God said, look away, that's not right. What does God see when He sees our heart down inside? See, God wants us to have self-inspection. Then there's asking God to open our heart. When we pray and say, God, open my eyes. I want to do what's right. Show me where I was wrong. Show me what I did wrong. Help me to do right. And admitting our failure. You know, each one of us, especially you young people, the earlier we learn to admit our failures, the sooner we'll be able to go on the road to success. If we are constantly saying, I wasn't wrong, I didn't do it, it wasn't that bad, I didn't get mad, I didn't do what they said, I was doing fine, and we deny it, we're never going to get any help. It'll never work. But when we're willing to say, God, I was wrong. I was wrong, I admit. And then we confess our sin, and we seek God's help. We seek help from others. You know, some of you children, one of the best things you could do is go to your parents and say, Mom or Dad, I know I've been having a problem with whatever it is. Would you help me? I want to do right. Would you help me? Give me some ideas on how I can change so I can be what I ought to be. Would you please help me? And seek help. Changing attitudes and our actions is another thing. When we change our attitudes and our actions, instead of having that rebellious spirit, we change our attitude where we say, I was wrong. It wasn't right. I shouldn't do that. That's not what God wants me to do. And we change our attitude, when we change our actions. And then also we change our thinking where we think biblically. We start thinking the way God wants us to think instead of thinking the way we want to think. Repentance is not just admitting a fault. It is changing our mind, which leads to a changed action. You know, sometimes in church, I'll at the end of the service, many times in the morning, not too often in the evening, but I'll ask for a raise of hands. You know, you all have your heads bowed and eyes closed. And you know, has God spoken to your heart? Is there something you need to work on changing? And sometimes you may raise your hand and say, yes, Pastor, there's something I need to work on. All right, that's admitting the need. But that's not the solution. That's only the first step. The solution is put it into action and make some changes. You know, you young people tonight, one of the best things you could do is to go home and spend some time with God and say, God, would you please forgive me and help me to change? Would you please change me? Make me a different person. Help me to obey Dad and Mom. Help me to do what is right. Help me to have a right attitude. Take away the rebellion in my heart and ask God to change us. Jesus told a story that fits right in here with what we're talking about here. He told a story about a man that had two sons. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse number 28, says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and he went. And he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. And he went not. Whither of the twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Now, the first son here refused to go. His dad said, son, go work in the field. And he says, no way, Dad, I'm not going to do that. Now, that's wrong. He just told Dad no. I mean, that was serious. But then he changed his mind and said, I'm sorry, Dad, I'll go. And he went and worked. The second son said, yes, sir, Dad, I'll go. And he took off. Never worked. Went somewhere else, did something else. Maybe he went over to his friend's house, but he never worked. And Jesus said, which one of them obeyed his father? He said, well, the first one did, because he repented and went and obeyed. The second one lied, deceived, and tried to just cheat his dad, and he didn't go. And so God is telling us here that how we respond, it isn't just our words about it. It isn't just what we say about it. It's how we respond, the actions that are involved. And again, as we think about this, parents, you know, when your parents correct you for being mean or selfish, do you repent and change your ways? Or do you just say, all right, yep, I'm sorry. You know, a lot of times children, they, you know, you get in trouble and they say, all right, tell your brother you're sorry. I'm sorry. And there's no change of heart. There's no change of attitude. We just do what we're told to do because we don't want to get in more trouble. All right? Now, that's not what God's after here. God doesn't want us to just say, okay, God wants us to change. Change the way we are. Don't do it anymore. Be a different person. And when we get scolded for disobedience, do we repent and ask for forgiveness right away? You know, when we've done something we shouldn't do, do we repent and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, please forgive me? Or do we have a bad attitude? God wants us to have a right attitude. You know, when your spouse or a friend points out an angry attitude and tries to help you, do you repent and apologize? Or you just push it away and say, yeah, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. God wants us to have a repentant attitude and to do what is right. And, you know, when you yield to temptation and the Spirit of God convicts you, how do we respond? You've done something you know God doesn't want you to do. You've yielded to temptation. And it may be in your thoughts, it may be in your words, it may be in your actions, it may be in your attitude, but you've yielded to temptation. The Spirit of God convicts you. How do you respond? Do you respond like, just leave me alone, I want to do what I want to do? That's the rebellious way. Or do you say, God, I'm sorry. I am sorry. God, I'm so sorry. Please change me. And God says, if we will do this, what's the results? You remember he said there that if when the silver was put into the fire and it got hot, this was the trial that was in that silver. And what came out? At the end, they had pure silver that was much more valuable. And God is telling us here that if we will respond in the right way to correction, that we will become a better person. It'll make us a stronger person. It'll help us to avoid problems. You know, young people, one of the things that you struggle with, that it seems like every young person struggles with, is believing somehow that mom and dad just don't understand. You know, every young person goes through that. It seems like, you know, my parents are just so ignorant. They just don't understand what it's like today. They don't have a clue. Well, the truth is, mom and dad know a lot more than you think. All right, a lot more than you think. And they're trying to help you to avoid a problem. And if you don't listen to them, and you go that way anyway, and you just go do what you want to do, you keep being friends with those friends that are hurting you, you keep going to places you shouldn't go, you keep watching the things you shouldn't watch, you keep saying the things you shouldn't say, what's going to happen? It's going to catch up with you, and God says that one day it's going to crush you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to wreck your life. And you know, there are thousands of young people whose lives have been shattered and broken and destroyed because they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They thought mom and dad were ignorant, old-fashioned, and out of touch with reality. And they didn't listen. And it hurt them very, very deeply. And now they look back on life and they say, oh, what a mess. What a mess. And they can't fix all the problems that they've created because they've wrecked their life because they wouldn't listen. And so every one of us, tonight, I told you at the beginning of the message, this applies to all of us. It applies to the young as well as to the old. When we get corrected, whether it be a correction from God or a correction from our parents or a correction from a friend or a spouse or your pastor or whoever it may be, when we get corrected, if we respond in a proper way, it will purify us and help us and change us and make us a better person. If we respond in a rebellious way and defend ourselves and make excuses and say, I didn't do anything wrong and it wasn't that bad and they're just picking on me and it wasn't my fault. And all those excuses, what we're doing is we're making our neck stiff and hard. And he says the hardness of the neck will come to the point where God says one of these days you're going to be crushed suddenly, and that without remedy. That's not what God wants. That's not what you want. Let's do the right thing. And when we get corrected, let's repent and not rebel. It'll be a help to every one of us. And tonight, in your own heart, there may be some of you here tonight that would say, Pastor, I know that there's some things in my life that shouldn't be there. And someone's been trying to help me. Maybe your parent, maybe your spouse, maybe a friend, maybe the scriptures, it may be the sermons, it may be the Spirit of God. But someone's been trying to help you, and you've been pushing it away and resisting it and not wanting to listen. Tonight, what you need to do is you need to humble yourself and repent and stop resisting. Because if we continue to resist, we're hurting ourselves. And one of these days, it'll crush us and ruin our life.